All right. Hey, didn't you enjoy Pastor Andrew and Tamara today? We're so excited to have them with us. We did, for some of you that may not have been here in the earlier at the beginning of the service, Vernon and Felice went out to the Douglasville campus today. So our worship pastor, Pastor Andrew, and his wife came over, and it was powerful. It was powerful. I was just thinking during praise and worship, listen, we can save you some gym membership money. I mean, you can get all your cardio in for the week during praise and worship, man. I'm telling you. I mean, I was getting my steps in. Woo! Woo! I'm telling you, man, I love that. I love it. Man, we serve a God who is exciting. Serve a God who is thrilling and an amazing God who loves us. Amen. Are y'all ready for the word today? Amen. Well, let's pray. Invite the Holy Spirit again to anoint his word. God, we come before you this morning with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts, oh God. Lord, as we enter into this time to hear the sharing of your word, Father, let your word find every heart in this room good ground. Good ground to be sowed into, oh Father. And God, I pray that as the word is sown into every heart, Lord, let it bring a bountiful harvest, an abundant crop, oh God. Father, I pray that you would help us all to set aside every distraction that we may have brought into this place, Father. God, we know that all of us are navigating through things and dealing with things, God, but let none of those things distract us today from hearing the truth that you want sowed into our lives. Let every ear be open, let every eye be open, let every life be ready to receive all that you have. And Father, I ask and invite you to take over this time. Lord, I am simply your instrument, your mouthpiece, your co-laborer. It's all about you, God. Lord, speak through me in whatever way you choose today. And God, we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the glory and give you the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Now, there was a time in the Bible where materialism was rampant. Divorce was up, many church leaders had fallen away from God, and the house of God had suffered abuse and neglect. It was a time in history when what was good was considered evil and what was evil was considered good. Does that time sound familiar to anybody? Although I'm not talking about America 2018, but I could be. I'm talking about a time in Scripture in the book of Malachi, some 400 years before the coming of Christ. See, even though this was a time in history where many people, including the church leaders, were far from God, God still had a plan. Somebody say amen. Amen. And his plan was to transform the hearts of people. See, God spoke through his prophets. He says, I want to get the attention of this thoughtless, this godless people and tell them, return to me. And prove me and prove my faithfulness. Even in the midst of chaos, he wanted to do that. See, he was saying, I want people who know me to live in such a way that those who don't know me will take notice. That God's desire is for us to live before him in such a way that those who are far from him will have to stop us and say, hey, what is this different about you? Tell me about what makes you different. See, I've been really excited about bringing this word to you this week because what I want to talk to you about is something that for almost the last 28 years I have practiced. Almost 20 years in my marriage, we together have practiced this. And here we are in our final week of our Get the Most Out of It series. Have you been getting the most out of it. Man, it's been a powerful series. I've been getting a lot out of it. I love preaching the word because God never leaves me out. He gives me something too. I love that. And so over the last weeks, we have talked about several areas of your life. We talked about getting the most out of your family, getting the most out of your marriage, getting the most out of your work, out of your giftings, out of your time, out of your relationships, and getting the most out of the word of God. And in this final week, I want to give you something that is an overarching principle that will help you get the most out of all of those other areas that we have been talking about. You see, we as followers of Christ are to be the proof of his power. We're to be the proof of his power. And as I talk about some things today, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But Romans chapter 12 says this: "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Having your mindset changed. I don't know if you realize this, but God is constantly trying to change our minds. He is constantly renewing our minds. He wants our minds to be renewed on a regular basis. I don't know if you realize this, but there is no such thing in this Christian journey as "I have arrived." There is no such thing as "I have arrived." And the moment that you think you have arrived, you are in trouble. He is constantly calling us, renew your mind. See things the way that I do. Think about things the way that I do. And he says, when you do this, look at the next part of this verse. It says, that you may prove, somebody say prove, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I mean, how many of you, 5 months from now, 5 years from now, 15 years from now, would like to be living in such a way that the perfect and acceptable will of God is all over your life? Oh, I desire to live like that, to be perfectly in his will, to be right smack dab exactly where God wants me to be. But if we're going to do that, it means we've got to learn to think differently. And there's one area of your life that I want to challenge you to think differently about. It's a critical area. It's an area of your life called your paycheck. Now, don't check out on me. I said paycheck, not check out. I want to talk to us about that area because it's a critical area. Listen, do you know that Jesus, he taught more about money than he did about heaven and hell? I mean, search the Gospels. You will see he was concerned about our relationship with material things because he recognized our relationship with material things have the ability to compete with our affection for him. He said it himself. You cannot serve both God and money. You will serve one and you will despise the other. So I want to talk to you today about how to get the most out of your paycheck or how to get the most out of the money that you earn. Now let's look at Malachi chapter 3, 7 through 12. Let's read. "Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." See, God wants to prove himself in you and to the nations. Every time you see nations, you can substitute that with people. Ethnic groups, multiple ethnic groups. He wants the world to see him in us. He wants to pour out his blessings on his people. So let's talk about the tithe. What is the tithe? I mean, if you have been around church for any amount of time, you have probably heard this biblical practice called the tithe. But the tithe begins with an important revelation. And that revelation is that God is the owner of everything. I mean, the scripture teaches us, he says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. I mean, he owns all the banks, all the businesses. He owns all of the cattle, all of the farms. He owns all of the people. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking about you. See, everything on the earth is his. And so the tithe is a representation that we realize I have nothing. Everything that I am and everything that I have comes directly from him. And when I tithe, I am saying, God, it's all yours anyway. I'm saying, God, everything belongs to you. I wouldn't even be able to get this check if it were not for you. And so every time we give that tithe, we are making that bold declaration, God, you own it all, including me. See, the tithe is not a third, it's not a half, it's not a fifth, it's not a 20th, it's a 10th. It's 10%. And we would do well to teach our children this lesson. I mean, I'm working on mine. I'm teaching them how to tithe. And you know, sometimes they don't want to. Because they're like, you know what? My resources are limited. But every time you get birthday money, my first question is, okay, that's great. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glad you got another year. Did you pay your tithe? Whenever they get Christmas money, praise God, hallelujah, your aunties and your uncle Nim, they love you. Did you pay your tithe? Because I want them to tie into this blessing. I don't want to rob them of the blessing of God on their lives. And so even though it's painstaking, my wife was telling me after the first service, she said, one of my boys has a real good excuse. He'll come to church and say, hey, you pay your tithe. Oh, man, all I got is a 20. I can't break my 20. You know, we'll come up with all kinds of reasons, but we're trying to help them step into this truth. Listen, Chapel Hill exists today. You're here now because people tithe. The buildings, the utilities, the staff, the equipment, the everything that carries the message of the gospel, it's here. Our ability to serve our community and to help people when they're in need, it comes because of the tithe. Our multi-site focus, multi-campus focus, it would not happen if people didn't tithe. We wouldn't have this Atlanta campus if people didn't commit to tithe. We wouldn't have this opportunity to reach this community if people didn't tithe. It's so powerful. It's such an incredible opportunity. You know, this week, Billy Graham went to heaven. Let's just give it up for a life well lived. Wow. A fruitful life, a life of integrity, a life that led many, many other people into the king. I can't even imagine what the party is like. Billy's here, y'all. It's amazing. But he said something about the tithe that I think is worth reading. He has a quote. He said it this way. He said, we have found in our home, as thousands of others, that God's blessing upon the 9/10 when we tithe helps it go farther than the 10/10 without his blessing. He says we have found, which means he tried it. He has tested. Let me see if this thing actually works. And he's saying, listen, when you trust God with that 10%, he will do something to your 90% that you can't predict, you can't imagine, you can't even fathom. He says it's so much better for me to only keep the 90. See, this is one of those things where you don't want to keep it 100. This is not the area of your life where you want to keep it 100. No, tell somebody, keep it 90. Because see, if you keep it 90, he will give you the results of the 100 and then some. He went on to say this. He says, because money comes from God, one should strive to use it wisely by giving to God's work through tithing. One can give back to God a portion of what he has already given us. See, some of you may be saying, man, who really does this, though? Like, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You got all that energy and you jumping up and down and preaching and spitting on the folk on the front row. But who really does this? See, really, millions of Christ followers around the world do this. We've got hundreds of families right here in Chapel Hill that do this. There are hundreds more families in Chapel Hill that tithe sometimes. And then we have many who like want to tithe, but are still a little afraid of stepping across that line of faith, stepping into the unknown. But here's the reality. Everything you do for God is faith. You know, when you walk with God, stepping into the unknown is called normal. It's all the unknown. He only calls you out into the unknown. Because you don't need faith to step into the known. You get that, right? Like if you know it, it's not faith, it's sight. But if you don't know it, if you can't see it, it is faith. And God says that's the only place I deal is in the unknown. Come on. And so I know that there are many people here who are like, you know, I want to do it. And then there are others here who are saying, man, I don't really even understand this tithe thing. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And see, I want to remind you of something. Let's just be really clear. Tell the person next to you, this is not about condemnation. It's not about condemnation, but I do want to challenge you. I do want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you to step into a new level of faith, a new level of obedience. Why? Because I want all of the blessing that God has in store for you to be yours. All that he intends to use your life for, I want that to be yours. And see, sometimes people will say something like this. Well, you know, I would tithe if I made more money. I would tithe if I made more money. But the question is this really about making more money? You know, many of you know that years ago I served as a missionary in Zimbabwe, and we worked in one of the poorest areas, a place called Hatcliffe, Zimbabwe, right outside the capital city of Harare. And I mean, it was a shanty town. I mean, people were living in whatever they could find as building materials. Plastic, cardboard, pieces of wood. I mean, whatever they could find. And I was a part of a church that planted a church in that community. And do you know, we taught them to tithe. But wait a minute, they didn't have anything. They had what was in their hand. And we encourage them, listen, this is not about you giving to the church. This is you learning to give to God. We want to teach you. He is a giving God. He has blessed you bountifully and abundantly with salvation. And because he now owns you, all he wants you to do is to respond with a tithe. You mean you ask those poor people that didn't have anything to tithe? Oh, yes, we did, because we were trying to get those people blessed. And I remember this one young man who said, you know, okay, preacher, I'm going to test this new God of mine. I mean, and he was working a little security job and barely making enough for him and his family. He began to trust God with the tithe. Now, see, here's the thing. God is not like in the magic business. He's not. And he didn't just drop money down from heaven into this guy's life. Let me tell you what he did. As this guy began to tithe, God gave him an idea. He gave him an idea. And he realized, man, I'm really handy. I'm really good with my hands. And he started making furniture and selling his furniture at the market. And in 6 months' time, he had moved out of Hatcliffe. And he came back and he continued to be a part of that church. And he became one of the elders in that church. And he continued to teach people to follow God and to trust God with the tithe. I mean, that's just one story. I can tell you stories of some of the ladies that brought one out of their 10 chickens and watched how God began to multiply in their lives. And people began to see, wait a minute, what is going on over there in Hatcliffe? What is happening with these people? And it became an opportunity for them to celebrate the goodness of God. And he wants that same opportunity to happen in your life. Amen. See, one of my favorite quotes comes from John D. Rockefeller. See, his mother taught him to tithe as a child. And on the first dollar and 50 cent he ever made, she told him, make sure you give a tithe to God. And this is what he said. He said, if I had not tithed on the first dollar I made, I would not have tithed on the first million I made. Wow. So it's not about I need more. It's about faithfulness with what I have. And yes, it is an act of faith. I get it. And I do want to indicate to you, God does want to see his people prosper, to be blessed. But let me just be clear to you about what prosperity is not. It is not the car that you drive. It is not the square footage of your house. It is not the number of figures in your bank account. That is not the kind of prosperity. Now, those may be some, I'll call those menial indicators. But what God has in store for you, see, prosperity is having enough to fulfill the will of God for your life. See, he wants you to have enough to fulfill his will and his assignment for you. If you think, God, give to the church today and you may be a millionaire next year, I will never preach that nonsense. Because some of you don't even have the ability to manage $1 million. It would wreck your life. We wouldn't see you in church ever again. And it's not a part of your assignment. If your assignment requires you to be a millionaire, then God says, here's the deal. I'm going to make you a millionaire, and you better make sure that you pay attention to what I intend to do with the money I gave you. See, some of y'all are called to be thousandaires. Because that's really all you can manage. Some of y'all are hundredaires. I'm just making up terms up here. See, in the parable of the talents, there were three servants. There was one that the master gave one talent, and one that the master gave two talents, and one that the master gave five talents. See, all of them were prosperous. All of them had been given everything that they needed for the assignment that God had called them to. But only two of the three were faithful with what God had given them. And so what God wants us to do is to be people who are faithful with what we have been given. And that makes us people who are prosperous. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now the prophet Haggai teaches us about God's blessing. And I want to help you connect the blessing of God to the condition of God's house. You see, in this next few verses, he's contrasting his desire to bless people with how they are willing to take care of his house. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2 through 6, it says, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Somebody say, "Consider your ways." "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." See, the Lord is saying to these people, listen, this was a time where the house of God was in disrepair, but the people were building paneled houses for themselves. How many of the people, children of the 70s grew up in the houses with all of the panel? I mean, we had panel in every room. And if there happened to be a room where we discovered there was no panel, we put panel in that room. So they're building these beautiful paneled houses because that was cool in that day. I guess it started back then and came back into fashion in the 70s. I guess it'll be back in the 2050s, maybe. My kids will probably be saying, "Dad, you got to come check out. We just bought a new panel house in 2050. But they were taking care of themselves, and they had not seen to the repair and the maintenance of God's house. And God is saying, hey, when you neglect me and I have provided so much, I've got to do something to get your attention. So you will earn and put it into a bag, but the bag will have holes. And behind you, there will be a trail of loss. Not because I'm trying to condemn you, but I'm trying to teach you. I want more for you." Tell somebody, he's not trying to condemn you. He's trying to convict you. You see, he gives us this remedy. Verses 7 through 11. He says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine and the olive oil and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock and on all the labor of your hands." Maybe. I mean, this is just something to consider. He says, consider your ways. I just want to give you something just to consider. Tell somebody, consider. Consider. Just maybe, perhaps, God wants to get your attention. Perhaps God wants you to consider. Maybe. I don't know if this applies to you. I don't know your situation. I don't know your story. But just consider. Perhaps God is saying, I want to patch up the holes in your bag if you would trust me with the tithe. See, I want to use this apple table as an example. This basket, this represents God's abundant provision. He owns all the apples, all the provision. But what he does is he gives you a paycheck. So out of this paycheck, you got 10 apples right here. Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So these 10 apples, they represent your paycheck. And where did they come from? God's abundant overflow. That's where they came from. But the paycheck, the income, has been given to you. Now stay with me. See, the Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, now about the collection of the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. It sounds to me like the Apostle Paul is teaching them percentage giving. Set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. The sum of money that we set aside is the one apple out of the 10. We set that aside. And that's equal giving for everybody, isn't it? Because it's 10% of what you have. Now, I'm not going to compare, you know, my 10% to James Walker's 10%. I mean, I might not be able to get to James Walker's level. So it's just my 10% compared to my 10%. But it's a sum that we set aside, and he says on the first day of the week, which in our contemporary context is Sunday. Somebody say Sunday. And then he says this, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Listen, not under compulsion. Your arm doesn't need to be twisted. Because it says, for God loves what kind of giver? Cheerful, grateful, joyful. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Now, I love this part. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. He wants you to abound in every good work, in all things and at all times. Amen? Now listen, I want to illustrate this in a real practical way. First of all, let's put up our normal expenses. Take a look at this. So normal household expenses, you got a mortgage, utilities, mortgage or rent. You got car payment, you got insurance, you got food, you got clothes, other household items, recreation, maybe a vacation, and then you have other debt. All right, now leave that up. And I just need, quickly, seven volunteers, real quick. Come on up. I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird. Come on up. Come on up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, y'all are some skittish people in the 11 o'clock. Like, man, what is he going to do? I don't know. So, here's the thing. These seven people represent these household expenses. And so, let's get our check. Get all our apples together. All 10 of our apples. All right, and so the first expense is what? Mortgage. It's the mortgage. So I'm going to give you two apples for the mortgage because you need a big crib, brother. You're a big fella. You need a big crib. Okay, so what's next? Utilities. I give you one apple for utilities. Listen, don't be burning the gas when you don't need to burn the gas. Turn all the lights off in the house. All right, and for your hoopty, your car payment, I'm going to give you one apple. And then you got your insurance, I'm going to give you one apple. And then for food, I'm going to give you one apple. No, I'm going to give you two apples for food. I ain't going to make you starve. And then I'm going to give you, for clothes, I'm going to give you one apple. All right, and then... No, I'm going to give you two apples for that. I'm going to give you two apples because you need a little vacation as well. And then for other debt, you got one apple. Okay? Now, so we got all the expenses taken care of. Everybody's covered. But where's the tithe? Oh, wait. We missed it. I messed up. Oh, messed up. Let me get my apples back. Hold on. Let's start over because something... Something had happened. Yep. Something went wrong. Okay. All right. So I want to try this. I'm going to try it like this. Okay. I'm going to start with the tithe. There we go. Let's do that first. Now, I'm going to give you two for the mortgage. There you go. We got two for the mortgage. And then I'm going to give you one for the utilities again, and one for your car payment, one for your insurance. Okay. I'm going to give you two more. There you go. For your food. And then I'm going to give you two for your clothes and your house and your recreation, your vacation. And what happened to other debt? Something happened. Oh, but wait a minute. There was a promise. So the promise said, test me. Test me. Do this first and see if I won't. Open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you don't even have room enough to receive. Just test me. Give me a chance. Just let me try to help you. Just step out into what looks like nothing unto him who is able to keep you from falling. They can't even hold. Give other debt another apple. That's regret debt right there. That's that cruise from 2012 that you're still paying on. Amen. Give it up for our household expenses. And the apple's still falling. If you think about God from the perspective of a loving father, a loving parent. As a loving parent, those of you who have kids, don't you want to do exceedingly abundantly above all your kids can ask or think? And what you desire is for them to trust you, to follow you, to lean in to you and your instructions. See, the tithe is a tangible expression that we are saying, God, even though I can't figure this out, I want to put you first. And there might be somebody in the room who maybe has been through some things similar to me, because we have been faithfully tithing our entire marriage, but that doesn't mean that the money was never funny. See, I've learned some things about God, and that sometimes he desires for us to remain obedient even when it doesn't make sense. There have been some times, man, we're writing out the tithe check, although I don't write checks anymore. My wife's still writing checks. I call her grandma. But sometimes we're writing it out, or sometimes I'm doing my thing online and I'm going, I'm gonna trust you. Because here's what the real blessing is. The real blessing is beyond financial. See, when he talks about rebuking the devourer, see, there are things that want to devour you and to devour your family, and things that are worse than not having enough money. And he's saying, I'm calling you because I want to bless you. I want to remove some things for you. But when you trust me, when we trust him with the tithe, he's saying, you're saying that you trust me with your life? Oh, yes. I will keep some things from coming your way. I mean, when I look over the landscape of my family and I look over the landscape of opportunities, there have been some really broke days, but filled with God's blessing, filled with his provision, filled with his presence. Man, you can't pay for the presence of God to show up in your life. Sometimes he's just saying, trust me. Now I want to give you, as we close, I've gotten a little carried away today. Let me wrap this thing up. But I want to give you two potential options. Good option. I call it the 10-10-80 plan. Give 10% to God. Take care of God's house. Give 10% to yourself, savings and investing, and then 80% on spending. God will take care of the rest of your house. Or I want to maybe challenge you, maybe up to another level. It's the 10-10-5-75 plan. Give 10% to God. Tithing, 10% to yourself, savings and investing, 5% to other generosity. Offerings over and above the tithe. In the coming weeks, we're going to be talking to you about the kingdom of God and challenging you to partner with us to be kingdom builders. And then 75% spending. So you say, for some of you, you're saying, that sounds impossible. Probably with man, that is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Do you know, for some of us, if we would just cut out that area called other debt, if we just cut out, just quit borrowing money, if we did that, it would free up all kinds of opportunities. Talking to myself, y'all. Hallelujah. But I want you to remember, we are called to be proof of God's power. Why? So that all of the nations, all of the people will see how mighty our God is. Give him praise and seek him. Amen. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, you know every person in the room. You know every need in the room. God, you know every destiny of every life in this room. Lord, as we have been teaching over these last weeks about getting the most out of all of these critical areas in our lives, Father, would you bring these lessons back to our remembrance? Father, would you give us courage to step out and to trust you? Lord, I know that there are some people in this room that you are calling to trust you in this area of giving. There are some in this room who have already been very faithful to that, but perhaps have gotten a little weary because things hadn't turned out like they had hoped. God, give them courage to continue to trust you. And God, I know that there are those in this room who are going to cross that line of faith today and say yes to this challenge, yes to this conviction. And Lord, I want to thank you for what you're going to do in all of our lives as we look to you, as we put our hope in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.